Welcome to Renewal, the podcast, season 3. This is Lawson Hannifer with my co-host, Olive Ann Ruth, and we are deconstructing the church growth movement in order to rebuild a movement centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ, one where people tremble at the word of God and take God at his word in prayer again. This is the means to revival, and this is what we're going to look at as we deconstruct in order to reconstruct with you. All right, welcome to our next episode of Renewal the Podcast, Season 3, unpacking, deconstructing the church growth movement, trying to rebuild something better in its place. And what we missed out last episode, which you may remember, is, and I'm apologizing now for not keeping my word, I mentioned that I would love to dig into YouTube preachers and just some of the unhealth that we see there. And so what I'm looking to do today is to do a bit of a sidebar, if you will. So if you'll permit me to, and my co-host here, Olive Ann Ruth, to spend a little bit of time talking about YouTube preaching as a category. I want to have a look at its root and its fruit, what's good, what is unhelpful, and perhaps a better way forward. So, Olive, what's your hot take on YouTube preaching?
Don't know if it's a hot take, but let's dig in and think this through. The problem with YouTube preachers is that they do not have authority. I think we've disconnected preaching from church life and ministry, and so preaching is reduced to content that we consume. It's a form of consumerism that we come in and to help us think through worldviews. But the content that we're watching doesn't have particular proximity to us, doesn't have relation to us, doesn't know us, isn't speaking authoritatively in our life, that I think the way that the church has been gifted with pastors, teachers, etc., for the building of the body and for ministry. So I think that's where YouTube is somewhat anemic. If that's where you're being fed, it may be feeding your understandings, but devoid of the context of church and community, actually just serves to amplify the individualism and self-belonging that our world sort of lives in, and that then becomes the same context within the church of individualism and consumerism.
Okay, so like a number of big terms in there which I'd love to go through, but let's in relation to us talking about the church growth movement, and we've talked about a lot of signs of like unhealth within this movement. How particularly, as we just observe it as a category, how is YouTube preaching part of the church growth movement? Like what's in it that actually is reflective of the church growth movement? And so we're just trying to draw the threads between what we've been talking about so far into this particular topic today of YouTube preaching.
Well, I think there's some mechanics in like inherent in the system that it's rigged for views.
Yep.
And likes.
So we've got metrics.
Metrics.
Which again is a key marker of church growth. Things that you have particular metrics that aren't related to biblical metrics of spirituality or spiritual vitality in terms of a Christian view. They're related to the world's dynamics of approval.
Mm.
So likes,
yep.
Comments,
yep.
Views. And so instantly there's a pull towards those things with YouTube preaching. Okay, so that, is there any other parallels or connections to the church growth movement?
I think part of the medium as well is the way that it entertains. And so it's often preachers will leverage graphics and editing and like wanting to captivate our attention. It's this sort of attention grabbing. And so often preachers, well, both in the graphics but also in the content, will want to be provocative because it grabs our attention, and then that then serves the metric. Oh man, then we can talk about algorithms, because the YouTube itself, like Facebook, like Google, like Amazon, leverages behavioral data and algorithms to suggest future things for you to click on, because they get their money, these platforms get their money by keeping your attention so that they can advertise more to you. So we see lots of, sort of indulging the algorithm and reducing us to behavior.
So that noise, I think, is my cat wanting to enter the room. Except he's not there. Ghost cat.
It threw me. The ghost cat threw me.
Well, no, leave it open, because then...
Apologies.
We'll do it in a separate episode on ghost cats. Just see if that gets any traction in the world. And then we could YouTube it. No.
Oh, no.
All right. Let's move on now. Okay, so you also dropped in a couple of big terms, which were consumerism and individualism,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to defining what is YouTube preaching. Tell me about that.
All right, giving it to me, mate. I might handball it back to you. I'll have a crack.
Well, you do one, I'll do the other.
I'll have a crack. Yeah. Okay, so consumerism, and this is not from an expert point of view, but me just trying to describe and define what I meant by that.
Yes.
One is the way that it's built around a product that someone consumes, it's in the name, for personal sort of indulgence. And so consumerism's often thought of in the sense of shopping, food, this kind of thing, where we indulge in our acquiring of materials for our own indulging and edification and pleasure, and so it's the overindulging in that, and then consumerism being also the one who is offering the product wants to serve what the consumer wants so that they'll consume more, rather than giving them what they necessarily need.
So it's a symbiotic relationship. People are hungry for their views to be endorsed. For example, let's say I am going to a YouTube preacher because I want to learn about how women should preach, for example. And I look up at my favorite YouTube preacher who is giving a point for how women should preach, and the person who puts their YouTube up, their video up for how women should preach, also wants the validation of people listening to them. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Mm-hmm. Someone wants their view validated, and the person who puts it on there wants to be validated themselves by others listening to their point of view.
And
that's not necessarily bad in and of itself, but that's how it works. And I would say that's probably most.
Yeah. And the problem with consumerism is that in the material sense is that it uses more than what we need, and it's indulging a part of us that's just about personal gratification. And so gratification isn't wrong in the sense of we need to consume to live, but consumerism is that over self-gratification, and it's both on the consumer side but also the producer side, because they get they're gratified in the way that they are. They make a lot
of money. And of course, there's industry built out of this. Like, this is actual industry. People are making money out of this. This is their business. This is like them earning making ends meet, in a sense. So it's genuine work and genuine industry, but some of the motives are unhelpful. So that's consumerism. Maybe I'll address individualism. So in particular to the context of YouTube preaching, it is out of the context of which preaching is designed for, which is the local church on a week-by-week preaching under God's word in amongst a community of his people and responding to it individually and corporately. However, YouTube preaching is you sit on your own whenever it's convenient for you, not on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. per se, but, at 11 p.m. at night when you're wound up about so-and-so, and then you look on your YouTube for different, scrolling through for different videos, and you find a YouTube preacher who's firing you up about various things. Now, again, we're going to get to what's good about YouTube preaching a little bit later, but it's very individualistic because of the mode that you operate. You are on your own. You can access at any time. So it speaks to us wanting independence and access and freedom in those senses. And there's very little control. There's no accountability around it. What were you going to add to that?
That's what I was going to say, accountability. A lot of these YouTube pastors or preachers are not accountable to a community.
Okay, so they're not accountable.
They're not accountable to authorities.
And neither are you.
Neither are you.
There's no accountability.
And secondly, credibility. So often, historically, preachers have generally required to have had some sort of credibility, something to give weight to their message, whether it's training or formation. Like, you know, Paul, back in the day, 2,000 years ago, he had these years of preparation for his preaching. I mean, and not to say that...
Yeah, and the credibility is in community, whereas you can actually get credibility from likes and views by virtue of being a YouTube preacher
and devoid
on its own.
And devoid of character. See, this is where preaching is devoid from the person. And so we don't know, most of the time, the YouTube preachers, we don't know their character, their life. And when the scriptures talk about our leaders to follow their life closely, like in terms of their modeling their character and life and how they're living it, it's very easy as YouTube preachers and podcasters, like we can make some tremendous hot takes here, but then be absolute hypocrites. My point being is that we're also vulnerable to this.
Yeah.
But the vulnerability of trusting in YouTube preachers is that we don't always know their character or can't emulate their character, and we've disassociated their message from the person.
Yes. So there's no accountability either way for the individual who's consuming all of the one, not necessarily accountability, sorry, for the individual who's viewing the content or the producer of the content. There's autonomy at both ends, which is unhelpful. Yeah. And so, it does, I think, almost inhabit our individualistic worldview, which is access, accountability, and autonomy. And that, I love, is an alliteration, 3 A's.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So, all right.
Can I just add, this is interesting because a lot of what we experience from members of our churches in the past may come to you with some concern or issue, which was really an issue in, say, America, where it wasn't an issue in Australia. So I think the other problem is context. A lot of the YouTube people that we're watching are speaking into an environment where it may be an issue, whereas, say, where we are, it's like, oh, that's not an issue. So you see these sort of American political agendas suddenly becoming Australian political agendas for no reason. It's sort of bizarre. But I think it's because of this sort of YouTube...
It creates a worldview too. Mm. So people have their people that they listen to or they watch, YouTube preachers or whatnot. And so that becomes their primary context for their, not just the teaching that they're consuming, but because the teaching that you consume gives you the lens for which you see the world. And so it creates a worldview that is not accountable, that is autonomous, and you can access at any time, but you're like not within the bounds, God's gracious bounds, of a church community that has real hands and feet on the ground, together interacting with God's word as God's people in the place that God has put you. So there's a whole... I think the decontextualization, we could talk a lot more about that, and I do want to, but... As we think of the root of this, before we go to the fruit, so we think of the root of a YouTube preaching world, there's some serious and fundamental concerns and dangers associated with it, which we need to all then ascribe caution to getting overly involved in it. And I think you picked up on something really helpful as well. Consumerism is like eating sugar. The more you have, the more you want. And so when you begin to digest things that you're in, they're enjoyable, they're easy to access, they're autonomous, you're feeding your flesh in many ways because that's part of the system. And so you do it more and more. You have full and unlimited access to hundreds, if not thousands, of these videos, and they're given to you in such a way because the provider, YouTube or whatever streaming platform you use or whatever, wants you to consume more and more. So you're overfed, right? And become sort of like, but it's almost junk food, even if the content is good and helpful. You eat so much of it without a context, a proper context, it becomes utterly unhealthy. So that's how I see the root of it. Now, it's really easy to bag people out when you've got your own podcast, and I thoroughly enjoy it. but we are, like, let's be honest, we are bagging out the church growth movement with good reason. So, and we're trying to qualify that as we go through it, because there are some fundamental flaws and unhealthy, and we're like deconstructing. We're looking at the structures of this thing, going, at its root, it's wrong. I'm not saying YouTube preaching in and of itself is wrong, but we've said there's danger. There's a lot for caution, and the system itself is fundamentally designed to appeal to our individualism and our consumerism. I want to talk about what's good now. I want us to talk about what's good about YouTube preaching. What is good and helpful, beneficial for the Christian or the non-Christian who's engaging with this context? And just to mention that as well, you and I have both met, I'm sure, people who have become Christians through YouTube preachers, or at least had some engagement with them on their way to the faith. I certainly have, on multiple occasions. And I say that's a good thing. Like, there is some good to it. It has produced some spiritual fruit. It doesn't mean the system is good in and of itself, but it means it has produced good fruit. What else can you see is of benefit or good, both for the Christian and for the non-Christian or the person exploring the faith?
I think it's supplementary, that in the sense that in addition to an already healthy system, you can sort of helpful to get other perspectives, other nuanced thinking and ideas. The democratization that anyone can access it, anyone has access to information, particularly for those who perhaps are not as gifted readers, have been able to become more fluent on a critical topic by watching YouTube.
Yes.
So, you know, we'll often, in the studies that I'm doing, the lecturer might also include a YouTube video. So, like, the Bible Project videos have been super helpful and reached a lot of people that wouldn't normally have been able to be reached.
Okay, so and what is a supplement? Like, how does a supplement work as opposed to the main diet?
Well, that you've just said, it's not part of your main diet. It's an addition, but it's not needed. It's not necessary.
And so if you just eat supplements, you will be...
Whew, I think some providers might suggest that. But no, you'll be anemic. And it's, again, it's this individualism.
Because your body wasn't designed for supplements. It was designed for real food. Supplements are just in addition to the main thing. And we could say the body, as in the body of Christ, the church, wasn't designed for supplements. It was designed for the real thing.
Mm.
I mean, look, and here's a valid question. What's the problem with YouTube? What about books? What about podcasts? What about audio sermons?
That's a good question. I would define the volume and the mechanics of online content. So you're not being exposed to ads in a book. So there's not this sort of ulterior motive within the system, and you're very much more in control. Whereas YouTube and these big tech, and I don't want to be sort of conspiracy theorist, but it's not a secret that these tech industries are leveraging sort of psychological insights in terms of brain chemistry and dopamine to know how to keep us addicted to these things.
It's like big tech and big pharma could work together.
The supplement.
The supplements, it's all there. That can be another episode where we just draw a few threads together. No, we're not going to go there.
But even so, even if the Christian was only reading books devoid of accountability and the church life and character of their leaders, that is also a problem.
Okay, okay. So the issue is context and the supplementary nature of it. But we're saying there's something particularly off with the system of YouTube, just like social media. There's something about it which is actually designed to inflame us, not to, and it's producing a, I would say, using your terminology, an anemic discipleship. An anemic discipleship. We are weak in the word and weak in the application of the word in its proper context. Because we can just feed, but it's like we become fat, but we're not doing anything with it.
Here's a hot take. You know Scooby-Doo, where the villain, like you pull the mask off.
Yeah.
And it was this person all along. It's almost like we pull the mask off YouTube and it's church growth all along.
Oh, that is so good.
Because the way church growth, church services and mentality is this sort of consumer. We devoid the preaching from the person. And so we give us sort of salacious take on the scriptures. And this is, this is so negative and most cynical. But I think this is the danger, is that it becomes this show that people come and consume, entertain, they leave. But in terms of how was the preaching and the ministry of the body of the church actually meant to be contextual, was meant to be in relationship, was meant to be with authority and accountabilities, and holistic in the way that it was meant to change our lives, have some of our preaching, myself included, but that we actually model our way of preaching around sort of YouTube, like,
okay, so content. And that's on the producer's end. They're designing stuff in such a way that its primary consumption will be in the disembodied state of like someone at home on their device watching this thing, which oddly,
COVID man.
That, I mean, that's COVID, but that's also our friend of the show, Mark Driscoll. Right, because he was doing this, like this was in the rise and fall of Mars Hill. He was designing his sermons for online
consumption.
And what a temptation. What a temptation. So,
and mass reach. So all these,
yeah, good people. So this is like the system is just so unhelpful, and I just want, I dropped the word disembodied.
Mm.
Isn't that part of the primary issue? Is that, like, God's design for us is to be embodied people in a place, interacting with other people, under His word, like together.
Mm. And do you think, like, so I brought up COVID before, but that we just so quickly jumped into online streaming services and thinking that we were doing discipleship.
And we never asked, was it good?
And are we not just doing, like, what else, what other YouTube preachers are doing? Suddenly we fed a system. And I know there was good reasons for it. I don't want to pretend that, like, there's so much to it, but
we were there. Yeah,
that's just the question I'm wondering is, like, you were saying.
We were in the trenches of production of services every week. What a time.
But just okay with a disembodied ministry of the word.
Well, and also some people said no and they kept meeting. Right? Now, not to comment on whether that was right or wrong, but one of their convictions was this is not as it should be. Now, that conviction is good.
Yeah.
Whether the application of it is right or wrong, that's for another time. But look, I'd add another thing to the distinction between books and YouTube videos. YouTube videos are often, and particularly our consumption of them, is often hot takes. Right, so it's just, and we're just getting glimpses, like, and this is classic. So Reels, YouTube Shorts, it's like the TikTok generation wants 10 seconds hot takes on things. There's no nuance. There's no understanding. One of the beauties about books is long form. That's why one of my practices is almost all of, or 90% of my consumption is long form, because you actually begin to understand things. And so you're not just talking from everything is surface level, having 1,000 hot takes on things, but you don't really get it. And when you're in that position of the 10-second hot take constantly, you will be so influenced that you'll be so influenced by this agenda that you will just be as polarized and as anxious and as discontent as everybody else, because that is what is discipling you. And so, as we say, just to recap, what is good about this, and what has some health to it in terms of YouTube preaching, is it can be a supplement to a healthy diet. But when it becomes anemic and it becomes the diet in and of itself, and that's assuming you're getting good content, right? Which is a whole nother assumption there. You can actually be essentially discipled by the world, a system where we have no accountability, you to them, they to you, you to anybody, they to anybody, and just been convinced to think a certain way. And so you have then, this is very dangerous, you put on a lens, which is then how you see the world. Yeah. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up in the first place, this YouTube preachers thing, is because I think, particularly post-COVID, it has been utterly detrimental to the spirituality and discipleship of Christians. Mm. In particular, I think the jury's out as to whether it's good for non-Christians, but it's not the main thing. The main thing is still the church and the church evangelizing the world. But I don't know enough about that to go into it. But my experience of Christians who are overly invested in YouTube is it does not produce good spiritual fruit. And so that's where I want to go now. What is the fruit of this? We've talked about the root, talked about the good. What's the bad?
Paul said to the Romans, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be renewed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, what I think is happening here is it's a conforming to a pattern of the world, to a story of the world's story, the world's meta-narrative, world's idols, that then we are being formed. This is the idea in conformed, is this formation. We are being formed, discipled by the stories of the world, even, I think, in the medium. So the medium is a mode of formation, that suddenly we are being formed and shaped to want things quickly, like you're saying. And this sort of...
It's consumerism. It's like takeaway food.
That's right.
Access.
And so I think that's... something I want to add to this thinking is this element of the mind and the way that the way we are being formed, so discipled.
Yes, yes, and discipleship is learning from someone.
Mm.
Are you learning from someone you're in community with, or someone you're not?
Yeah, and a lot of discipleship. Think about this as parents. It's actually emulation. And copying.
Because you live in the same household.
Exactly.
So you know what they're like. And like, they take on your good traits as well as your bad traits. Where the YouTube preacher, you don't know what their personal life is like. You don't know if they're a person worth imitating, yet you listen to their teaching. And again, we said this about producing services, church services during COVID, but like, this is true. Have we stopped and asked the question, is this good? Is this helpful? All things are beneficial. That is, it's somewhat morally neutral. I think we're making a case it's not entirely morally neutral in terms of its system. But is it beneficial? Where's the fruit? I don't see it. I see people who are more polarized than ever before. Mm. They don't know their Bibles as well, or they just know particular views on text, but it's not thorough. It's not engaged.
And it very rarely actually transforms our practice.
Yeah. So, we're isolated. And the design of it, its consumerist design, is it keeps you needing to feed from it.
Because I think a lot of it will then have these takes on government and society, and a lot of people then have these views, but then how is that actually shaping the way that they love people, the way that they treat people, the way that they spend time with the Lord, the way that the fruit of the Spirit is cultivated in love, joy, peace, patience, etc.
Yeah. I just want to finish that text you quoted. So Romans 12, 2. So it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How on earth are we supposed to... This is me getting on my high horse. I can feel it in my tone.
Right away.
How on earth are we able to discern what is the will of God if we do not have a renewed mind, but we're constantly being conformed to the world? No wonder. No wonder we have this crisis of identity and anxiety, because we don't know what to do with ourselves, because we're being fed on this sugary diet of hot takes and 10-second like teaching clips that have no context to them. That's a high horse moment for me, but it's junk. It is junk food.
And hey, this is the reality as well, is that we're at a certain demographic that we're talking about YouTube.
Yeah.
We could talk about TikTok and ramp this up like...
Because TikTok is the hot take generation. And the reels and the shorts and whatever else you can think of.
And leveraging algorithms and views and et cetera, and advertising and addiction and things like that. And for the next generation is very concerning, because they're not watching 20-minute, 30-minute...
It's connected to anxiety. Like, so why are we anxious? Because we don't... think, oh, I need to pray in response to God's word. So like even if a sermon is considered long form, we're getting shorter and shorter form. So there's multiple issues going on there. And then, I mean, the ultimate long form is in person.
Mm.
Like, if you have to go to church on a Sunday morning, right? You have to get up, get dressed, turn up on time. If you've got kids, you've got to take the kids. And you've got to be part of a community, or at least become part of one. You gotta talk to people. Yeah, you've got to rock up at 9:45 to get a seat for 10. You know, you don't rock up late. Just putting it out there, don't rock up late. Get there early, be there for an hour and a half, and then spend some time with someone afterwards in this context of the Christian church under God's word, centered on Jesus, like the sacraments. Like, just how healthy and real and like taking away the means of anxiety is that? Which is, so just to bring a few of these threads together, we're saying do not be conformed to this world. YouTube preaching in and of itself, I don't think is morally neutral. It can be good. We reflected on that. There's some goodness to it, depending on the quality of the content and how you're consuming it. If it is a supplement to a main diet, I think, yes, it can be helpful. For the Christian, I think for non-Christian, I think the jury's out, but certainly I know people who've come to faith through that, and it's been certainly helpful for them. But that being transformed by the renewal of your mind is a way that we digest God's word in its proper context, which is not just, of course, in church, but it's actually reading, like engaging with our Bible individually in the context of other people, in the way that God has designed it. And then we will actually be able to live a life according to the will of God, discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect.
I would add, that was really good. I would add, and just an encouragement for our listeners to think carefully and discerning, I mean, that word's in there, but discerning about what you're watching, how much you're watching, when you're watching. A lot of the time, we're just not thinking. We haven't stopped to consider the way tech is forming us, because it is so convenient and easy.
Yes.
But we need to stop and say, just because it's convenient and easy, it feels good, it's like, that was a great, you know, that's yeah. it's just
it's got access, so it's got no simple. Accountability, it's got autonomy.
But to just be discerning and stopping, okay, I'm going to shortchange my convenience here. And then also
die to self.
Die to self, brother. And having people who are asking you about this. So, you know, we had a conversation this week and I just feel like, so I enjoy watching some like late night TV shows, just a bit of sort of comedy about the news and things. I just realized it wasn't actually really helping me. It was nice to have a little laugh. There's nothing wrong with having a laugh. But the point I'm making is having someone else in your life who can ask you, what are you watching?
Mm.
How long are you watching?
Yeah.
How's that shaping you? Again, this idea of community.
Now that third question, how's that shaping you? That's what we've sort of touched on, haven't talked a lot about, but creating worldview. Like that's actually the elephant in the room here.
Mm.
I think that's great. So accountability, I think is fantastic. And this, I guess, leads us to where we want to finish today, which is like, this is a renewal podcast. So we're talking about like making new or bringing us back to what is right and good. So we're returning to the scriptures. We're returning to the ancient practices of the church. We're not dismissing what is new, but we're trying to be discerning about it. Literally, not being conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds. We're taking this very seriously, trying to actually see us through the lens that Jesus has given us through his word. I wonder whether, so like we're talking about a renewal movement here where people are actually saying no to the rhythms, the patterns of this world, the systems of this world, which are ingrained in some of the technology that we have. What is our advice or application for people to be part of a renewal movement that is actually going against the grain and begins to experience spiritual vitality away from this world of formation, which is actually anemic and produces anemic Christians because of its anemic discipleship. And I want to give one point of application, but I'd love to hear yours too, Ollie. My first is... I don't know if you ever read a book or saw a book called I Quit Sugar.
No.
The idea of the premise of the book is you give up sugar, you'll be heaps healthier. Because like the sugar and everything.
Sounds legit.
Yeah. I mean, like I think everyone knows about this. It was like big maybe 5-10 years ago. Everyone reading this book and say, yeah, I've given up sugar. And now so everyone's low carb anyway, so it doesn't like, I think we've embodied that as our worldview. Like sugar's bad for the most part. And then we gorge on it every Christmas and Easter.
And Halloween for...
Just more holidays means more times when we can make excuses for our indulgence of sugar.
Bit of sugar's all right.
But the point of it is, in the I Quit Sugar book, the idea is you will be hooked on this and you'll feel withdrawal symptoms, right, for about a week, and then it'll get better the second week, and then eventually you realise you don't need it anymore. I believe we almost need to get at, like the experiment is, and this is what I put out, if you're only part of renewal, if you have a desire to see renewal in the local church, start with yourself and your engagement with online content, particularly online spiritual content that is often not just a supplement, but it's taking the place of genuine time in God's word. Yourself and amongst God's people and the preaching of God's word and the gathered church where it's supposed to be. It's out of context, not in its proper place. The experiment is do it for a month, do it for 40 days and see the spiritual fruit. And it's very hard to, because we often spend like hours and hours consuming content because it's so easy. And so you probably can't do time for time necessarily as a substitute, but just instead of doing that, engage in God's word in the way he has designed it and see what happens. Because God will be faithful to his word. And I believe this is where a renewal movement starts, is actually us saying everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. We're in a societal time now where the advance of technology, we haven't asked the question, is it good? And I think we're discovering it's not good. And so let's be a movement of distinction. We're not saying that it's all bad, but we need to get off the drug. That's the sugar thing.
Mm.
It's a sometimes food. YouTube preaching is a sometimes food. What have you got? Point of application.
That's good.
As we finish.
See, my one thing would be finding someone else who burns as well. So if you're feeling this burn of and conviction from the Lord, it's finding a friend or others or like just a small community. It can be hard, but even just one other person, start the conversation with another person.
Yeah.
Let's start talking about it.
Yes.
Because again, if the problem is disembodied, let's bring some bodies back into our life that we have these conversations together. Because what this is me trying to combat this individualism is that we give permission to others to speak into our lives. And so, yeah, have like, if you think about embers by themselves, these little sort of hot coals sort of suffering, but bring those embers together.
Amen.
And let's stoke some fires.
Yeah. And I wonder whether in that context, because it would begin by saying, hey, like, there's some unhealth here. But actually, when you come to the great physician, it's not just don't do this, but it's actually come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what Jesus says. Like the weariness and heavy ladenness, we're embodying this world of hot takes, 10-second teaching clips, which is killing our discipleship, killing our spiritual vitality, keeping us in bondage to various kinds of sins and the structural sin behind it, which we don't even see, that gives us a worldview that's polarized, that's out of context. We're saying, no, like bring that weight to Jesus and then he will feed you on his diet so that like maybe the start is responding to, hey, this is unhealthy. But the end is a spiritual life of fulfillment and joy in him. Like this is just the beginning.
Mm.
And this is where we end. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of Renewal, the podcast. We're really glad for our listeners. We're really glad for those who are listening from all over the world. We'd love you to engage with us. If you would like to ask us any questions, please send us an email and connect with us. Or if you'd like to share our content, you know someone to whom this would be very helpful, please send it to them as we continue to deconstruct the church growth movement and to see a renewal movement built on the Word of God, faith in Jesus Christ, which impacts every level of society, from the individual Christian to the family, to the community, to the church, to the entire nation and world.